flat screen TVs have become bigger, thinner, smarter, and with picture-perfect clarity. But less people are switching it on at home these days. Now, artificial intelligence is applied in TV manufacturing. Will AI technology save the television manufacturers? Okay, so first of all, Lai Ming, I'll go to you for a market review on television these days.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, the televisions on offer at those grocery are not, and those markets are getting bigger and bigger. The size of the TV screen has grown from 32-inch long diagonal to over 50 or even over 70 inches long diagonal. And the thickness of the screen has also become thinner and thinner. Some of the brands are having ultra-thin screen or even screen with no border, just like smartphones. And now the television has become like an artistic product. I've also heard latest model, I think from Samsung, where you have a curved surface in the place of a flat screen. It's supposed to create a sense that you're being wrapped by the screen or by the picture that you're looking at. And kind of funny. And I've been told by a salesperson that unless you have a huge room and you have a huge screen, you can't even tell the difference. But anyway, that's how they're trying to sell the latest model to you. And then also, in case you haven't noticed, the image are becoming sharper, obviously. TV resolution has improved from standard definition to high definition. So a few years back, we heard people talking about 4K. And now, I think a few weeks ago, I think I saw an ad promoting a TV that's featuring 4K and 8K, actually. So surprised to see how fast they're developing. And also, these things are getting smarter, obviously. The chip in the television. Do you know they have chips in the television? Apparently, not only do they have it, they're also becoming more advanced. So, while a few years back, we talk about single-core chips, like you talk about computer or laptop chips, apparently, those chips are developing in television, too. We're talking about dual-core chip and quad-core chips. So if you bought the latest model of TV available in the market, chances are you're no longer the smartest entity in your home. And also, but with all this encouraging or exciting developments in the industry, apparently those changes are not helping the industry, and the sales are going down. The global TV market started to face a decline in this increasing rate of the yearly sales volume from 2014, and data from chyxx.com, a Chinese industry information website, showed that the global TV sales volume dropped from 225 million in 2014 to 224 million in 2015. That's not a bad decline, apparently, but you can see the general trend is that people are buying fewer TV sets.
Yes, and in the old days, I remember when people start furnishing a new home as they move in, they would, of course, think that the TV is like a main item and all the furniture is pointing at the TV.
It's like a shrine that you have
altar.
Basically, you build your living room
around
the TV at the center. I mean, you have to have a tea table, is it? And then you have a comfortable couch facing the TV. That's how you go about setting up your living room.
But now, Carl, have you got a TV in your home?
I do not even have a television. I admit, since I came to China, I have stopped watching TV on a TV. I use my phone or I use my computer, but I'm actually not sitting in front of a television. And, you know, back in Australia, my living room was exactly like you described. It was all set up around a big television and a big speaker set.
And a stereo,
so me and my housemate could sit on the couch and look at our phones while the TV was on in front of us.
That's fun.
So would you be sort of doing research or chatting with people on social media as you're sitting on the couch and watching the ginormous flat screen TV?
Absolutely. So on social media, chatting about the shows that are on at the same time.
Yeah, multi-screening. So now you don't do that anymore. Is the TV no longer a necessity in your mind?
I don't think it is. I mean, it's nice to have, but if you move every couple of years, it also becomes an incredibly large, expensive thing to break as you drag it from apartment to apartment. So
that's true.
A little bit of an incentive not to buy a big television.
Okay. Well, actually, there's also one thing that's going on in the TV manufacturing business. That is, the TVs are no longer that expensive anymore. Because about 10 years ago, it's common that you spend five-digit figures in Chinese yuan.
Wow.
To get a nice TV, like one that you would sort of show off when people come into your home. But that's no longer the case. A few thousand Chinese yuan on a TV is considered very expensive these days.
I was surprised to find that TV cost so little back in the year 2012. That's, I was still renting, so there was no incentive to buy a TV to begin with. However, I got an Xbox, but the TV set in the rented room that I was living in was so lousy that it was not compatible with the Xbox machine. So I went to the market and tried to buy a TV, and I was surprised to find that a decent TV cost only 3,000 yuan.
Yeah.
And what's more surprising is last year when I decorated my new apartment, I had need for a new TV, and it was so much surprised to find that actually an even better TV cost about 2,000 yuan, and it had a smart feature that you have a smart set-top box and an online streaming platform incorporated in the machine, and a 1 year free membership, and also 4K technology, and you can hook it up to your router via Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's interesting. And certainly Lai Ming is talking about a lot of things that a cavewoman like myself, tech-luddite, would not understand per se to the very detail. But there you go. Lai Ming, what about you? Where do you stand on this realm of TV watching? So I need to be specific with my question, all right?
Uh-huh.
So are you utilizing your TV set as well as watching TV content?
Well, I've stopped watching live TV for some time now. It's been many years since the last time I watched live TV. I mean, usually just once a year during the New
Year. Once a year?
Yeah, you're during the Spring Festival New Year Gala. I mean, that's probably the only time that I would spend time watching live TV. Other times, I usually use it as a platform or a screen with which I can stream on-demand content from the iPad or just from the live streaming platform or from the streaming platform that's incorporated in the machine.
Okay, Lai Ming, I have a follow-up question for you.
Okay, hit it.
Are you still subscribed to Gehuayouxian? What a blast from the past! That is the cable TV we pay for.
No, I'm not a subscriber of Gehuayouxian, but although as a compromise to meet the demand of my parents who come and visit me often, I do have the internet counterpart of Gehuayouxian. So you know, if you're a subscriber of China Unicom, the broadband service, it comes with an internet-based TV service. So that allows me, that allows my parents access to live TV.
Oh, there you go. And so we've got Carl, who's free from the TV set and looking for all kinds of content just using your iPad or your phone. We've got Lai Ming, who's stated his position. And then there's me. I still pay for Gehuayouxian. I have not cord cutted yet. And
do you still watch live TV?
I haven't watched TV in a long time, but every time it would be to accompany my parents when, you know, after a long day of work and, you know, I live with my parents and we sort of have some fruit and have a little chat about the day and it's family time and it usually happens in front of the TV in the TV room, but I'm not watching TV and it's for their consideration, therefore I have not stopped subscription, but just looking at us three as a small sample pool, the TV set just does not seem to be that necessary, so I think this possibly could be a downward trend of of purchasing TV, owning a TV? I mean, do you think that the artificial intelligence technology can help out in this regard?
See, I think that's maybe the key. I think the TV itself is less important. It's the AI technology that runs it, I think, is going to become increasingly important.
Oh.
So as you get, you know, smart networked homes that everything's connected, you know, through an AI box, I think that could be a potential market for TV manufacturers. So if they can convince people that their TV is the thing that should control everything in the house, then that's possibly a good driver of business for them.
Possible. Well, what are the AI technology that is being used here? I mean, what can this technology do when it comes to TV?
Very interesting you should ask, because I think this AI technology or this concept in TV is way overrated. This is nothing too fancy. From where I look at it, I think it's something, a technology that incorporates like things like voice recognition, image recognition, natural language process, and professional systems, something. So the closest thing that I've tried with AI technology, as described by the news stories recently, is that the Xfinity voice remote that comes with the Comcast broadband. So it's basically a remote that with a button which you can push to activate the voice recognition function. And so basically when you're looking for instance, the Hunger Games, you don't have to click, like, how many words are there in that phrase? Let me count. About
many.
13 letters.
Oh,
you have to count. And,
oh, okay.
And with space, then 15 letters. So if you want to search for the Hunger Games on a regular remote, on a regular TV set, you have to type at least 15 times to find that, to start a search.
Yeah.
Whereas with Xfinity voice remote, all you have to do is push the button, activate that voice recognition technology, and say the Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine or the TV would do the searching for you. So that saves a lot of time. And also some other innovative features that people are talking about that's related to AI technology is probably those recommendation feature that, I mean, that technology is not anything new. I mean, we've been talking about how some users of certain video streaming websites or video streaming applications can spend hours nonstop watching streamed content. That's precisely because they've come up with an algorithm that sort of can tell you what kind of contents you are into, and they will be able to continuously feed you with similar content. And I think the feature that people are talking about with AI technology on TV is something like that. I mean, based on certain algorithm, certain platforms, they can calculate exactly what kind of content you would like to watch, and then it'll be pushed to you.
Although I think one of the joys, particularly with the new streaming services, is to go and just scroll seemingly endlessly through all the programs on offer. It's something people joke that Netflix should have its own channel, or its own subscription service, just for people who want to scroll through what's on offer. Because that's what a lot of people do, because there's so much content, and you can come across things that maybe an AI isn't going to think of, because an AI is going to recommend things that you've already seen or things that are similar. Whereas, yeah, sometimes just spending your time browsing aimlessly, you can stumble across things that you wouldn't have otherwise found.
Well,
yeah.
I feel a little ashamed to admit that I actually have spent some time, considerable amount of time, scrolling through what's on offer on the Comcast Xfinity service. And I think this is an incredibly waste of time. I mean, I can imagine somebody enjoying screwing or scrolling through all the channels with those old model, where I think more than 20 years ago, when we had those color TV, at least in China, we had only about two dozens of channels available on those TVs. And I remember both my dad and I could remember the the signal or the what do you call it, the code for each channel. We memorize them all. I mean, one is for CCTV 1, like 13 is for what, CCTV news, that stuff. We can remember them all. But that was an age when there are only so few choices. And over time, and when we're looking at on-demand service, I think on iQIYI, I've had some kind of experience dealing with iQIYI in recent weeks. And I can tell that in order to exhaust all the contents available on that platform, there's got to be hundreds of pages of that. I mean, this is going to take a lot of time. So in light of that, I would much prefer having a voice recognition service.
That's interesting. Okay, I have a few queries, actually. First of all, I've just never had luck with voice recognition, Lai Ming.
No?
My Siri does not bother with me. I ask questions and I never get the right reply. So there's one thing. And I wonder if I don't speak standard Mandarin or English, but actually that's the only thing I think I'm standardized for, I feel. And I am very disappointed with voice recognition personally, but there could be something that I'm not doing right. As you know, one person doesn't easily migrate from the cave to another place.
And look, as an Australian, I feel your pain.
Oh,
because
you do?
Most of these systems are trained for the terrible American accent, not the nice Australian accent, which is superior. So they don't understand us when we speak to it. And I can tell you, since I've been here, if you think your Mandarin is not standard, I have a much worse problem than you in that regard.
Oh, well, Carl and I, we can relate on this one. So there's one question, okay? But I've seen Lai Ming using Siri perfectly on various occasions. And then there's also another worry, I feel, and potentially this can get really freaky. So with the AI used in TV, then, and this voice recognition speaker thing, it would need to constantly be listening to you to respond to you, right? And it's like inviting a spy into your home. What do you think about that?
Well, some people made complaints about, we were talking about it earlier, I think it was an Xbox plugin that you could get, and it had an infrared camera that would constantly watch what was going on in your living room.
Oh.
Or like the Amazon Echo or, you know, Apple's equivalent products. It is a bit weird having something that's constantly listening out for you and watching what you're doing in your own home.
Yeah, and who knows where that data's going, or Lai Ming, what do you think about this?
I'm a little conservative in this regard. So when it comes to AI technology incorporating a voice recognition feature, I am all for something like a button that you can activate, something like what I mentioned about Comcast's Xfinity voice remote, something that you can activate with a button, not something that is constantly listening. I mean, I just before the show, I asked my Siri a question: are you spying on me? And the answer was a flat no. But who is to tell? I mean, if it is not
you
listening.
You ask this kind of question to yeah. a machine?
Okay, I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with myself.
No. I mean, he's a curious guy, and I'd be interested to hear what the technology can give me as a response when it's these not very standard textbook questions that's being asked. And I think this is also one part that artificial intelligence possibly can provide a varied answer, and maybe an answer that is very fitted to the specific demands you have.
And although it does seem a bit weird having those devices in your home, I was reading about someone who got an Amazon Echo in their house, and they said for the first few days it was really weird having this thing that was constantly listening. But after a month, they got used to it, and they would just chat to it and ask it questions as if it was a human being in the room. So it doesn't take us that long to get used to this AI presence.
But do we want this, though? I mean, is this like a temporary sugar high, and then we don't know what's going to happen with the tooth decay problems that come later on, or who knows what the future is going to be? I mean, are we going on this path a little too fast?
Well, a very interesting question, but I think we are still at the moment quite safe with smart TV or a TV with AI, because even for those machines that are incorporated with voice recognition technology, remember, you usually just keep it in the living room. As long as you don't keep it in your bedroom, in your other rooms, you're fine.
Well, I do stuff in the living room too. I don't want, you know... Okay, too much info there. So...
Remember, if you are worried about those things, you can always turn your TV off. You know, we were saying that TVs are getting bigger, thinner, and smarter. I am not getting either of any of those things. So it's always a good idea to sometimes turn it off and maybe go and explore the world outside.
That's a very good point. But in this digitalized world, when the company, the machine tells you that it's off, but is it really off?
You can unplug it.
Oh, good.
If it's not a built-in battery, then you can always unplug it.
Liming, thank you for that very straightforward answer, possibly the solution to everything. One last question about this topic. I'll need to ask you guys to read some tea leaves. Do you think that AI technology can become the savior of this TV manufacturer industry?
Carl?
I think it has the potential, but I don't think it's clear, because... You know, if we'd said not long ago that people will stop watching television and they'll watch movies on their phone, you probably wouldn't have believed them, but it's become the norm now, so it's hard to tell what the future holds.
Well, I think the TV manufacturing industry doesn't need saving. I mean, obviously, it's facing a lot of competition with more portable screens like iPad and even your smartphone. But I think there's always a demand for a big screen that delivers good quality audiovisual content. The virtue of a TV is that this is a platform that can provide you with that content. And I do believe that over time, perhaps that platform, the form of that platform is going to change. Perhaps in the future, your wall is going to be covered in TV screen. But yes, there's always that demand, because I recently have been watching a lot of on-demand TV television. Well, while previous years, I think I'm totally fine with an iPad, now I have grown quite used to high-definition content being streamed on TV. I mean, I think there's a certain pleasure in sitting comfortable in a couch and watching high-definition graphic content being streamed to you. I think it's really relaxing, and I think in the future it's going to be relevant, and people are still want to receive content in this form.
Okay, well, that's a very good point. And Liming, please help me to hook my iPad to my TV.
On router?
Okay, don't know how to do that. We'll need the help of Liming.